A former Skagway resident and manager weighs in about the proposed lease with White Pass, and Haynes' forensics team reflects on its season. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly last week again postponed an ordinance about trapping on borough lands. The ordinance would require additional procedures for trapping on borough lands, such as labeling traps and trap lines, and not trapping within a certain distance of trails and roads. The Civic Affairs Committee has held several meetings about the proposed ordinance changes. Chair Jim Sager said he held another meeting on February 12th with about 30 people attending. He's since made a few more revisions to the proposal and is working to define trapping zones before finalizing his proposal. But he asked the Assembly postpone a reading of it until Stephanie Sells of Alaska Department of Fish and Game is able to come to Skagway and talk about what other communities have pondered when revising trapping regulations. He said he hopes to bring the revised ordinance back to the Assembly at the second March meeting. Also at the meeting, one member of the Assembly briefly talked about comments recently received from former Skagway manager Tom Healy in response to the Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, drafted between the municipality and White Pass Yukon Railroad for the port. The MOU has been public since early January after several years of on and off again negotiations between Skagway and White Pass. The company currently holds the lease on most of the port property, but Skagway needs access to the port if the proposed Gateway Port project is to go ahead. White Pass and the municipality finally agreed to new terms that are now being drafted into a formal lease. That will have to be passed by the Assembly and then voted on by residents before it can go into effect. Some residents have raised questions about the terms in the MOU, including concerns about the length of the lease and some of the terms surrounding remediation of the port near the ore terminal. There is ongoing talk if the municipality will solicit a cost-benefit analysis on the MOU. But former Skagway manager Tom Healy last week let his opinion of the MOU be known. He took it upon himself to look at it and offer some concerns and questions about some of the terms.
And I think on the face of it, the Memorandum of Understanding just leaves a lot of questions unanswered.
Healy lived in Skagway for 16 years and served as borough manager for five, then returned last year to serve as interim manager for about 5 months. He now serves as Director of Public Works for Palmer. Healy said there were several questions he raised simply as that, questions that voters should have answers to before they must vote on the lease. For one, Healy said he questioned some of the terms that provide public money to assist White Pass in building projects that seemingly mostly benefit the company. For instance, in the MOU, Skagway agrees to pay half the cost of building a new floating dock, but the dock will be operated by White Pass and they will reap the immediate revenues from it.
It's not that I'm suggesting that they not use public funds for, say, the floating dock, half of the floating dock cost, but that there be a clear determination and understanding that use of public funds under that arrangement is appropriate.
At a recent public meeting about the MOU, Skagway Assemblyman Dan Henry, who helped negotiate the MOU, said helping build the floating dock will benefit the town by securing that the breakaway class cruise ships will be able to dock in Skagway, providing that many more visitors. Healy also writes that the MOU section about the contamination in the ore basin is one of his biggest concerns about the MOU. The agreement says White Pass agrees to contribute $2 million to the ore dock basin dredging costs, which includes remediation. But Healy writes that while White Pass's role is clear, that it provides $2 million toward dredging, it's unclear what that means for the municipality and what they will be on the hook for. Estimates for the dredging hover around $4 million, according to the municipality, but Healy asks what if dredging costs are actually more than that, or remediation and cleanup costs go above and beyond that amount.
My other concerns were that it seems that many of the terms of the MOU are kind of open-ended in terms of the municipality's responsibilities and financial obligations, particularly in terms of the dredging costs.
Healy goes through the MOU point by point in his memo, raising what questions he has about each section. He sent his memo to interim manager Emily Deitch, asking she distribute to Assembly members. It came up at the Assembly meeting during public comment when Ken Russo said he hopes the municipality finds the answers to some of the questions Healy raised.
I mean, it seems to me with big questions like that from somebody like Tom, who's very knowledgeable, a lot of history here, knows a lot of what's going on, if he has those kind of concerns, it raises a lot of concerns with me, and I'm sure with the rest of the public if they see this, if they're aware of it. And I think that it's your duty to make the public aware of it.
Henry interjected that he and Steve Burnham had talked at length to Healy about his memo.
Myself and Steve Burnham spoke to him for about an hour today, and he kind of understands now and can connect the dots a lot better. So he was going to be sending a revision letter to the Assembly, which will correct that letter.
Healy said Monday some of his questions were clarified in his discussion with Henry and Burnham, and he was penning another letter. But many of his concerns remain, he said, primarily that the community he once lived and served in has a big decision in front of it, and voters need as much information as possible before they cast their vote on the lease.
It is a major decision for the community. It involves a new 35-year deal, which will have, benefits to the community, obviously. But it's a major commitment on both parties, and I think it's important to have a thorough public process and analysis and understanding of this before there's a vote on it.
The municipality has not yet scheduled another public meeting about the MOU. Henry and Mayor Mark Schaefer said at the first meeting they would likely wait until the official lease is released before scheduling another public meeting and setting the date for the special election. We link to a copy of Healy's memo along with the MOU on our KHNS news page with this report. The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday, and on the agenda, the Assembly will finalize the sale of two downtown properties to Aspen Hotels for the price of $215,000. There's also scheduled a first hearing on an ordinance to allow ATVs on streets and snow machines on highway shoulders within the borough. The Assembly will also revisit an ordinance to change water and sewer billing procedures. The ordinance came up before, and some Assembly members wanted more analysis of what metered service would cost and save the borough, and how it would impact residents. The Assembly will also decide whether to hear an appeal about a conditional use permit for a private helipad on Chilkat Lake Road. Also on the agenda, the Ports and Harbor Advisory Committee is asking the Assembly to include a boat haul-out and storage area project in the next budget. The Ports and Harbor Committee is also asking the Assembly to confirm its recommendation for the small boat harbor project to move ahead using a wave barrier design breakwater instead of a rubble mound design. A complete agenda and meeting packet is available online at the Haynesboro website. The Haynesboro Assembly meets at 6:30 Tuesday evening in Assembly Chambers.
For 9 Haynes kids, the biggest game of the season wasn't a game at all. It was a performance. The Glacier Bears Drama, Debate, and Forensics, or DDF, team recently returned from the state competition in Anchorage, where they recited, yelled, and rhymed their way to placements among the best in Alaska.
Puddles on a poodle, and the poodle is eating noodles. They call this a muddle puddle, twiddle poodle, needle butter, bada paddle battle.
That's student Neil Little with the Dr. Seuss classic Fox in the Socks, one of the many entries in the competitive category of humorous interpretation. The Haynes team, as well as Skagway when they compete, is typically one of the smaller teams at state, and even has a few top 3 in-state placements in their team history.
One thing I've really noticed, this is my first year, you know.
Amanda Randles is the Haynes coach. She has a background in theater and journalism, and one season now under her belt as a DDF coach.
And watching the progression of skills and again, the confidence piece from the beginning of the season to the end is really notable to me. Even in kids like Eli, who've been doing this for years and more experienced than I am in this. But again, watching that progression of their performance to the end has been amazing. It's really fun to watch.
She points, for example, to Zayla Asquith-Hines' spoken word poetry piece, Bee, by Sarah Kay. It was part of the category called Dramatic Interpretation, which senior Eli White and coach say has a reputation of being sad, depressing, or scary, rather than poetic.
The classic phrase is dead babies and cancer. There's a lot of pieces.
Holocaust
disgusting.
Stories, yeah, right, it's yeah. Awesome.
So Haynes has always tried to move out of the just making people cry and at least try to do a bit more original kind of stuff. And Zayla's is one of those in that her piece is dramatic but not depressing.
And she's gonna learn that life will hit you hard in the face. Wait for you to get back up before it kicks you in the stomach. But getting the wind knocked out of you, the only way to remind your lungs how much they like the taste of air.
As a junior, she took 8th in the state for that performance earlier this month at the competition that was also Eli's last DDF performance for Haynes.
That was my last DDF tournament.
White has been on the team since his freshman year. The same year, he said he would never, ever join the DDF team. He says he was too scared to join because of the public speaking, but too scared to say no when he was asked to be on the team. But after 4 years, he doesn't regret the choice.
I'm definitely a lot more confident and a lot better at talking to people in general, and a lot less scared of public speaking, and I think I'm a little bit better at acting, not a whole lot, but mostly I had a heck of a lot of fun.
White says he's planning to go to college next year and will consider joining the debate or drama team wherever he chooses to go.
But the public speaking aspect is definitely, I'm sure I'll use in college and in my whatever job I get in the future and all sorts of other things in life.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Tara Bicknell for filling in while I was away. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.